Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Thursday morning. We are 1 week away from the first round of the NFL draft. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our favorite draft analyst, Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Dane, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. So, Dane, I'm curious. Obviously, here in Tennessee, there's a lot of discussion around the quarterback position and whether or not the Titans are going to move up. When you watch tape of Anthony Richardson and you have conversations with people about Anthony Richardson, what do you come away with? And if you were a team like the Titans, how tempted would you be maybe to move up and go get him if that was the route you decided to go?
I think it all comes down to the interview process. When you put him on a whiteboard, when you just get a chance to get to know him better, have a better understanding of the intangible factor, that's what is going to either tell me, yes, it's worth investing in this guy, or you know what, no, the risk is too much. And you know, that's the answer to that question could be different from team to team, depending on their interactions. You know, we look at Jalen Hurts, for example, a guy that had a lot of questions about him coming out of college, goes in the second round. If the Eagles don't take him in the second round, he probably falls to the third round. A lot of ups and downs. I mean, at this time last year, we were talking about the Eagles maybe, they have two first-round picks next year, so they have the ammo to go get a quarterback, and we weren't talking about Jalen Hurts as being a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the league. But he was able to persevere and get that competitive toughness that he had. Even though there were, a roller coaster at times, he was able to persevere through it and be better for it. Now, can Anthony Richardson do that same type of thing? Because there's going to be some lows. It's inevitable playing the position at a high level, especially for a player who's 20 years old, has under 400 pass attempts in college, 13 career starts. He was below 500 in those starts. And he didn't come from a big-time high school. So this is a guy that has to learn a lot. There's just a lot he doesn't know at this point. And it doesn't mean he can't get there. But as a franchise, you have to understand the timeline of, okay, when is he going to be able to grasp the playbook enough so we can get him on the field? Because this is a player you want to sit, but at the same time, you want him on the field. That's how he's going to get better, more so than sitting and reading a playbook and watching film. You want this guy on the field to learn from his mistakes and to see what NFL speed looks like. So it's a very involved decision that a franchise has to make together, the coaches, the evaluators, the scouts. And it's something that he's going to go somewhere in the top 10. I feel pretty good about that. It's just a matter of which team feels the best about taking that risk.
Dane, I wanted to ask you about another quarterback of high interest in this state, Hendon Hooker. Obviously, a lot of, I think, college schematics is flowing up to the NFL, and there's a lot of narratives that have been busted about spread quarterbacks and things like that. But the Briles system, has not as of yet produced a successful NFL quarterback. First of all, do you think there's anything to that beyond there just hasn't been a good enough quarterback, who has run it in college? I mean, do you think it actually creates bad habits that can really limit a quarterback's effectiveness? And what do you think specifically about Hendon Hooker and what he could be in this league?
Well, it's as simple as you're just asked to do different things than you're going to be asked to do in the NFL, right? So at Tennessee, he was reading half the field. And it's also an offense that is, designed to spread the defense. So you're looking at larger holes in coverage. As a quarterback, you only have to worry about one side of the field. And so you're reading the safety, you're reading the coverage, and based on the shell that you can either go underneath, you could go for the deep shot. It's a lot more simplified, which, in college, I certainly understand why you do that. I mean, that's their job to win football games, not necessarily run a pro style scheme. But even, that quote unquote pro style scheme means something very different than it did 5-6 years ago. So, I think Hendon Hooker is, when you look at just his evaluation, he's a smart guy. No questions about toughness, intelligence, anything like that. So can he make that transition to a full, full field reads, understanding high to low, understanding everything that an NFL team is going to be asking him to understand, and what's the timeline for that? Because that's a big part of that. We talk about timeline with Anthony Richardson. Hendon Hooker is on a very different timeline. He's already 25 years old. He's coming off an ACL injury. You know, what does his timeline look like to getting on the field and helping win football games? And that's why I think we're hearing some whispers about maybe him going in the first round, because to get that fifth-year option, because you're probably not going to get much of anything from him in year one. So to get that fifth-year option where you have that extra year has a little bit more value with a Hendon Hooker. So to me, I don't see Hendon Hooker as a first-round pick, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. All it takes is one team to really believe in the skill set that he offers and say, you know, with our coaches, our offense, we feel like he can start games, help us win games. And so it wouldn't be a surprise at all if he ends up sneaking into that first round.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Dane, obviously offensive line is another position group that the Titans could target at number 11 overall. When you watch Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. or Broderick Jones, what do you make of the top of the offensive lineman group in this draft?
I think it's a solid group, not a great group. I think that's kind of been put out there. That's a really good offensive tackle class, and I don't think it is. And I tell you, scouts don't think it is. NFL teams don't think it's a great group. I think it's an okay group. Paris Johnson Jr., 6'6 and a half, 315 pounds. He projects as a solid NFL starter. Broderick Jones, some teams have as OT1 on their board because of the upside and where he can be. I think 2-3 years down the road, he's one of the younger players in terms of on-field experience in this draft, really just a one-year starter at left tackle. And you see his feet, you see the body control, the way he moves, and it's easy to be encouraged about where he is now and also where he's headed. So Broderick Jones is in that mix to be the first tackle drafted. Skoronski is interesting because of the arm length, and it's some teams have their thresholds about what they want at offensive tackle. And this, a lot of people bring up Rashawn Slater coming out of Northwestern a couple of years ago. He was, we talked about arm length. He went in the top 15 picks. He was a pro bowler as a rookie. But Rashawn Slater had 33 inch arms. And for a lot of teams, that's the cutoff. Peter Skoronski has 32 and a quarter. That's a big difference. I hope he gets a chance at tackle because I think he can survive there. But I think his best, if we're just talking about maximizing an NFL career, I think Skoronski's more on that Zach Martin path, where Zach Martin could have played left tackle at Notre Dame, could have played tackle in the NFL, no problem. They move him to guard, and he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory with the Cowboys. Skoronski could be on a similar trajectory if you move him inside the guard. That's how his body is built. His strengths, I think, are really conducive to moving inside the guard. So, I think you have to be really convinced he can stay outside at tackle if you're going to draft him for that position. Or you have to be comfortable with saying, hey, if it doesn't work out, we feel good about him inside at guard. Not every team will be, looking at it that way. So Skoronski's he's a clean prospect for everything except can he stay outside at tackle, or is he inside at guard for teams?
So, Dane, you do the beast, and then you do the full 7-round mock for all the teams. I mean, hey, why not throw that on there too? I mean, I hope you've got like a 3-day nap coming up here. You've got – I will reveal this. C.J. Stroud, 2 to the Texans. There's been obviously a lot of buzz the last few days, I think originating with Adam Schefter, about that maybe not being the case, or maybe Stroud – falling, and I know so much of this stuff turns out to be like misinformation once we actually get to draft night, but do you buy that? And is S2 score, if it's not great with him, like relative to Bryce Young and some of these other guys, is that much of a difference maker at this point in this process?
Well, let's look at the teams that really care about the S2. And because it's not every team, really buys in. And so, but some teams do. And one of those teams, the 49ers, with the new coaching staff with the Texans. Where do they come from? San Francisco. So I think you can connect some dots and say, the S2, that matters to this offensive staff. And what I was told, and this goes back to the combine, I wrote in my post-combine mock draft, first thing I did at leaving Indianapolis was a mock draft. And under the Texans, I wrote, not everyone in Indianapolis, the people that I talk to, are convinced that this will be a quarterback. And when you, look at it with what they're, obviously from the outside looking in, it looks like, they definitely need to go get a quarterback. But this is a first-year, coaching staff. They don't feel rushed. They don't feel like they need to, push the envelope if they're not totally 100% sold on a guy. And with C.J. Stroud, you know, he's a good prospect. I think he has a pretty high floor where you feel like you know what you're getting. He's going to start NFL games for a lot of years. He because just how good he is from the pocket. But, you know, it's not a completely clean evaluation with C.J. Stroud. And so it'll be interesting to see how the ripple effect, if the Texans do pass on a quarterback at two, what is the ripple effect of, okay, the people are teams trying to trade up to number three with the Cardinals? What are the Colts doing at four? You know, the Titans are interesting. They have the Titans have made calls to teams picking between two and six. And I know that's not a smokescreen because I've heard it from multiple teams. They have made those calls just to say, and that's not completely, different than most years. You're always making calls just to see what it takes to move up and, you know, what's the trade package look like. So not crazy that they're doing that, but, you know, it's at least interesting because this is a team we know could be interested in a quarterback. And, you know, if a C.J. Stroud were to fall past two, what happens at number three? What are the calls that the Cardinals are getting? You know, how does that affect where Anthony Richardson goes? Will Levis? It's a really interesting domino effect if the Texans do, in fact, decide we're not going to take a quarterback. Are they able to trade out of there? Or are they just content taking a Will Anderson or a Tyree Wilson? So it's the intrigue. The closer we get to the draft, I think the better we feel. Bryce Young at one, the Panthers at number one. But then the intrigue starts at two with Houston, and I think that's really where the drama is going to start.
Dane, last thing for you here. As you evaluate Will Levis, how do you balance the physical skills that I think are pretty evident when you watch him throw the football with the turnovers and the decision-making and kind of all the noise around Will Levis that way? What comes to mind when you view Will Levis?
You know, it's a shame we couldn't see Will Levis with Liam Cohen for, you know, two straight years like that. You know, Liam left to go to the Rams, and actually now he's back at Kentucky. But, you know, the offense just did not look anything remotely the same this year. And part of that is a turnover on the offensive line. No Wandale Robinson. And I think people need to realize Will Levis was getting shots before every game just so he could go out there and physically play. Most quarterbacks would not have played, especially, you know, guys that are top prospects. Will Levis, he was, you know, whatever you need me to get, give me shots, whatever it is, get me on the field. That's just his mentality. And so I think, you know, that's something that coaches really respect. The intelligence factor is off the charts. It's just you wish he saw things a little bit quicker and he was more consistent with his feet and how that affected his accuracy. So, but there's a lot of things that you just check the box, both physically and then again, the toughness factor, the intelligence. So it's not really a stretch. You don't have to squint to understand why teams are very encouraged by Will Levis, you know, what he could be at the next level with the whole package of tools that he offers.
Well, Dane, we know you're a busy man. We really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Great work as always this time of year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Dane Brugler from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour as well, so a lot more football talk coming your way. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.